This is the Bush Regenerators podcast, where we sit down with experts in practical conservation and capture some of the hard-won knowledge that has been learned over the years for us and future conservationists to draw on. I guess for people that are listening, most would be in the bush regenerator sort of field. What's the best way that they could start to learn about or incorporate this sort of knowledge into the work that they do? So really practical, field-based.
I'd say seed coating with beneficial fungus. Gliocladium virens has been shown almost exclusively to benefit all vegetable crops, most native plants and introduced plants, everything except a couple of things that I can't remember. But
and that's a cosmopolitan
species. It's a cosmopolitan species.
Everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. I've got batches of it. I can get more. We both worked on it together.
Mm.
We could help market it. That's the idea.
Yeah, get in contact with us if you want some there. But, I mean, even collecting the puffballs for yourself, if the people that are listening, if they have these puffballs in their sight and they can ID them correctly, and they're growing their own plants in nurseries, say if you work for a council or something, you can collect your own puffballs, harvest the spores and coat your seeds. There's a lot of information out there, and you know, whoever's listening's welcome to get hold of, you know, Robin or I, and if they need more information, and we can put you in the right direction. On the Adelaide Plains, which species would you use, whether it's a couple of species, would you start with, say, for tree species?
Trees? With red gums and gums in particular, all species of gums, the Pisolithlus, the horse dung fungus, the Scleroderma, which is another smaller puffball, which is incidentally poisonous.
So don't eat it.
Don't eat it. They're for the river red gums. All other small bushes and shrubs and grasses, I'd go for Gliocladium virens, because that's been proved really effective, because it increases the nitrogen uptake from the soil into the plant. It's been shown to do that, particularly with grasses like wheat. And there's a number of other native mushrooms and toadstools that are mycorrhizal association with plant roots, and the list goes on. It's endless, almost. It's over 400 species native, which could be mycorrhizal, but they're just chance events when they come up, so collection of large quantities is probably not possible.
How would you, I mean, obviously with the puffballs, it's quite easy. We used to,
they're very common.
How would you go about harvesting, say, if you had a couple of these mycorrhizal mushroom species, how would you harvest the spores out of that?
Well, a couple of the texts have suggested growing it out on agar, chopping pieces of agar up, and, well, let's say laying the seed over that agar so the fungus grows over the seed on the surface of agar.
Okay.
That's one of the methods, and you can do quite rapidly a large quantity, and it's a simple media. One of the texts I have of working with fungal mycorrhizas suggests using that method of difficult species to collect, rare species, and mass producing them. You can also do it in a liquid culture in a flask by shaking it with the media and incorporating that liquid onto the seed.
So just cutting up the mushroom.
Sterile bits of it.
Yeah.
Or dipping the plant seedling into that suspension. That's another method.
Yeah.
Much like inoculating a truffle onto hazelnut trees. Mm. You make a suspension of truffle mixed and inoculate the roots, and within a few weeks or month, you'll have those truffle mycorrhiza associated. That's what I could suggest would be the first methods of using the Pisolithlus, Scleroderma, Gliocladium, and the rarer species which would grow out on agar. There's also a range of commercial mycorrhiza available, and you can get them, I believe, from the Belair National Park Nursery.
Yep.
They've got a fungus incorporated called glomerus, I believe, which is a native, natural mycorrhiza, possibly from overseas, and some other groups involved as well, species involved in that mixture.
Mm.
So what's your opinion, I guess, on the use of introduced species of funguses in like native bush?
Risky. We don't know what we're using. We haven't trialled it. We're introducing something foreign to Australia. It's a bit like this fungus from New Zealand coming into Australia.
And infecting the bees.
Yeah, it could infect the bees, native bees, or introduce bees. So my thoughts are you've got to keep them in quarantine for a while, trial them, see if they affect other native species. That's the first precaution I'd do. Because when we did the work on collecting native cruciferae, the whole purpose was to grow them up and then test them against this fungus, which was attacking this introduced weed. And we had to see if they were going to be susceptible as well.
Yeah, it's a big risk.
And there was another species of a fly they were going to introduce to control it. And that's the other reason they wanted this collection of native cruciferae. Yeah, just be cautious introducing it. And like getting all these overseas mixtures of seed, which contain pathogens from America, Europe, as in the carrot material that comes into our state. We've got a collection of so many overseas diseases already here. That's probably why resistance is developing so rapidly to the fungicides.
So keep it local.
Keep it local, yeah.